All right, we're gonna try Jack again. I think we tried Jack earlier, and we, if I remember correctly, Jack was having some reception, or maybe someone else. Jeffrey was having reception problems, not Jack. All right, let's grab Jack from the queue and get things rolling. Jack, welcome to Deconstruction Zone. Are you at least 18, and do you believe in God?
Yes.
Awesome. And which God do you believe in?
You could call me a theist.
So you don't believe in a specific God? You don't believe in Jesus or Allah or Yahweh?
Let's say I just believe there's one God.
You just want to lie about what you believe? Cool.
Okay, so then
what we'll need you to do is say, I denounce Jesus and Allah and Yahweh.
Well, I believe Jesus was real.
Do you believe that Jesus is God?
No. From what I've read in the Bible, no. I don't think he is.
Okay, do you believe that Yahweh is God?
I'll be honest, Yahweh, I don't know much about Yahweh.
Do you believe essentially that any God of the Bible is real?
So I think in the Bible, the Jesus prays to the Father, if I'm not mistaken. I haven't read the whole Bible.
Do you believe that the Father's real?
Yeah, you could say that's what I would consider to be God.
So you believe in the biblical God?
Yes, but I also agree with someone who's not Christian, for example, and just believes in God. Let's say someone doesn't follow any religion and they just believe in God, for example.
Right. So you believe in the biblical God. You just didn't want to come out with it. Cool. So what's your greatest piece of evidence or argument for the whichever form of the biblical God you believe in being real?
Well, don't Christians believe that Jesus himself is God? Because I know there's like Jehovah's Witness. They believe that, for example, who Jesus was praying to was God.
Some of them do. Some of them don't.
Yeah, I would say I agree with the Christians that I don't think Jesus is God because he was a human. Yeah,
that's fine. You're just a non-Trinitarian Christian. That's fine. So what's the evidence that the God you do believe in exists?
Mainly the fact that we exist.
Do you believe that Jesus was a prophet?
I would agree with that. I think the Bible agrees with that.
And by prophet, do you just mean someone?
Yes. Yeah, I also think.
You're a Muslim.
I consider myself a theist.
Why are Muslims so terrified of just saying you're Muslim? I never understand why you guys beat around the bush. Do you believe that the Quran is inspired by God?
Yes, and the Bible and the Torah. Yes.
Okay, so you believe that the Quran is dictated by Gabriel to Muhammad?
Exactly. And then it's gotcha. Jesus.
Okay, so Gabriel, when I asked you Jesus, if you believed in a specific God, you lied on Allah. He's proud?
I said I believe in one God. Yeah, just one God. Don't really disagree with Judaism or Christianity or Islam.
You think coming onto my live stream and starting out with a lie is going to turn out well for you?
Well, why do you think that's a lie? Theist is
I asked you if you believed in a specific God, and it turns out you do believe in a specific God, and you beat around the bush for like 5 minutes to make it me ask you enough questions to determine that you're actually just a fucking Muslim. So congratulations. You started out the conversation by being a lying, dodging coward, so we can move on. So what would be the greatest piece of evidence or the best argument to suggest that the God of Islam is real?
Well, I'm just trying to have a respectful debate, and
you don't get respect when you start with a lie, so we'll try this again. What's the best argument or the best piece of evidence to demonstrate that the God of Islam is true?
A few things. I'll start with one, just the fact we exist and the evolution. The fact that
we exist is proof for Allah.
Of course, you can see.
What's the proof? What does that have to do with God?
Well, I was watching your stream earlier. You said you for example, you designed machines, right? So
yeah, And you're gonna say that the creation needs a creator, blah 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 blah. But we know when things are created, when they're not. Like if I compare my machine to a mud puddle, I know the mud puddle wasn't created, my machine was. So what's the actual argument that your God created anything?
My argument is, what's more complex, your machines that you designed or humans?
Complexity is not a hallmark of creation.
Why not? Why
would it be? Because in fact, my machine, like the simpler you can create a machine to do the job it was created for, the better it is. Adding needless complexity to anything never makes it better. And the human body has tons and tons of needless complexity. In fact, a huge portion of our DNA is no longer even active. It's been passed down through billions of years of evolution, and we've got pseudogenes, we've got genes that no longer function, and we've got lots of genes that actually harm us. So, like, why would we believe that this is designed?
Have you looked into evolution deeply?
Yeah, that's why I believe evolution is true.
So can you explain, for example, how a cheetah all of a sudden got camouflage on its fur?
It didn't all of a sudden get camouflage. Evolution is a slow process. And to be sure, to get camouflage on your entire coat only requires one manifestation. So for example, the way that like genes get expressed, I'll give you a good example about hands. Okay. So, when like people who have digits when an animal or an individual has digits in the womb, it doesn't always start out as digits. Sometimes the way the gene gets expressed is the longer the gene gets expressed, the more digits you get. 1 digit, 2 digit, 3 digit, 4 digit, 5 digit. That's why people sometimes end up with 6 and 7 digits is how the gene itself gets expressed. There's not like a number 5 finger gene. It's about gene expression. So for example, if you have a gene to produce one spot, and that gene gets expressed longer than normal, that one time where that gene happens to be expressed longer than normal is enough to give you multiple spots. But that being said, the fact of the matter is we have no reason to believe that spots on cheetahs just randomly appeared all at once.
Okay, I understand what you're saying. My argument to that is, so how would a cheetah, the skin changed to camouflage in its environment when a cheetah can only see and touch? Do you get what I'm saying? How would the skin of the cheetah change to its environment?
The cheetah seeing and touching is irrelevant to whether or not it has evolutionary adaptations.
Right.
So for example, all you need is one cheetah to be born with some sort of inconsistent coloring on the coat. We'll call them proto spots. Let's imagine that there's a litter of cheetahs that are born with proto spots. And it just happens to be that the cheetahs with proto spots survive better because they can camouflage better. And those are the ones that reproduce. They don't have to know that they have spots. The fact that they're able to reproduce more effectively is what allows them to live on and reproduce better than their counterparts.
Okay, so Justin, do you think we came from a fish and then that fish turned into a bigger animal and then that turned into a monkey and then we came from a monkey? Because to me, there's no evidence.
I know that to be the case, because if you bother to read any evolutionary textbook, you would know that that is the case. Everything evolved from a much lower form of life. In fact, mammals, we know for a fact that mammals and sea creatures went back and forth. For example, the whale used to be a land-dwelling animal, and so dolphins as well. Both of them used to be land-dwelling animals that eventually adapted to their watery environment. And there's lots of evidence why that is the case. Have you bothered to look into it?
But yes, it's not
and
good evidence.
Have you bothered to look into the evidence on why we know that human beings evolved at one point from lower life forms?
Okay, let me ask you this.
So why haven't actually, have you even read a single evolutionary textbook?
Yes, of course. I believed it for
a long time. Sounds like you didn't. You would know that there's lots of evidence for evolution. It's not even a question. There's a reason
why it's not spotty.
There's a reason why scientists all agree on this.
Dude, it's spotty. I'm telling
it's
you,
not.
When you look into it, it's not as
It's spotty as because you don't know how to do research.
It's as school taught us and as the textbooks out there, it's not as straightforward as you think.
It is. You really just haven't read anything.
Dude, I have. Okay.
You haven't.
But okay, so let's accept, for the sake of argument, accept this evolution argument.
Also, evolution's irrelevant to whether or not your God exists, by the way.
Well, it's not because
I don't have no idea why you think disproving evolution is going to prove your God to exist.
Well, because if we didn't evolve from a fish, for example, then what created us? That's my point. That's the point I'm trying to get to.
Listen, if your God exists only because of metaphysical necessity, there's a million other metaphysical necessities that we could plug into that gap. We could say, listen, there is a life-granting unicorn that grants life to entities, and that's the metaphysical necessity. It could be fucking aliens. It could be ancient aliens bringing life. It could be anything. There's so many things that you could theorize if all you need is metaphysical necessity that a God is right out. A God is stupid.
Okay, but can you think of this with me for a second? If, let's say we did evolve, right? Why do those other things that we evolved from still exist? Why do monkeys still exist? Why do fish still exist?
It doesn't make sense. Why would they go away? I don't think you understand how evolution works. I'll draw you a diagram. We have to do this quite a bit, actually, with people who don't, like, never read evolution textbooks. Let me give you one second. MS Paint Online. There we go. That's what I'm looking for. I literally just found this app recently, and I'm in love with it. Somebody duplicated MS Paint on a website, and it's amazing. Okay, we'll use red for now. We're going to call this the evolutionary tree. Now, what happens is, let's say that there's a branch, right? Now, we're going to do another branch out here. Well, as it turns out, this branch on the left came after the branch on the right, which means both of these branches share a common ancestor here before the branch happened. Now, the fact that this branch happened and this branch happened says nothing as to whether or not this ancestor has to die off. That's not how branches work. That's like saying every time a tree grows a branch, the limb that it's attached to should die off and go away. That's not how evolution works.
Okay, what started the first cell? What started the first cell?
The first cell, I assume you're referring to like abiogenesis. And if you want to know how the first cell was formed, you should actually read a cellular biology book rather than asking a guy who studied electricity and Bible in school. The reality is, even if I don't give you an explanation for how the first cell formed, it's irrelevant to whether or not your God is responsible or in existence for anything. You'll never prove your God into existence by trying to figure out where the gap in evolution is.
Well, because in Christianity, it says God created Adam and Eve, created first humans.
Which is clearly wrong, because humans existed prior to 6,000 years ago.
Okay, but weren't you a pastor?
Pastor? Yeah, which is why I'm not a pastor, is because science says the Bible is wrong. There were human beings prior to 6,000 years ago, but according to the Bible, human beings started with Adam and Eve 6,000 years ago, which is what you believe too.
I believe that human is a creation from God. We did not come from
I didn't ask you what fish. You believed. I asked you what's the evidence.
Okay, well, for example, if the Earth was 1 inch closer to the sun, we would burn alive. If it was
inch
further, we would freeze.
It moves millions of miles away and closer to the sun every year. We don't have a perfectly elliptical orbit. I don't know who told you that. Like 14 million miles a year.
Okay, have you heard the fine-tuning argument? When you look at how big the universe is, how is it possible that we...
Every single day. Okay, there's not a day that doesn't go by that I don't have to debunk fine-tuning.
Okay, how is it possible that out of how big the universe is, we just happen to be here?
Because that's created here. That's how statistics work. So the universe is a lot of chaos, and you need pockets that are lower in chaos for life to have time to evolve. Meaning, you need a planetary system that has some sort of a heat source, that has water, and some sort of atmosphere for some sort of life to arise. Not every planetary system has that. And the reality is, we have no idea how many life-bearing planets are there in a universe. We've literally just begun exploring the universe. And as it turns out, we're at the infancy of exploring the universe, and we've already discovered that the building blocks of life are self-assembling. We found amino acids on meteors already, possibly even one fully formed protein. There's some debate on whether or not that if it's fully formed or not. And then also there's a pretty good chance that there was once bacterial life on Mars, and there's another protoplanet, exoplanet, or whatever they call them nowadays, that appears to have bacterial life as well, because we are detecting gases on that planet that we know are almost exclusively the byproduct of bacteria production. And we just started. We started looking like yesterday.
Okay, you have to agree, though, the design of this Earth is not like anything we've seen, as you said. So
I know, it's terrible.
It's a terrible
design. Why would God design the Earth where 97% of the water is poisonous for humans to drink?
Okay, what do you mean by that? Like the sea salt?
97% of the water on the Earth you can't drink. What kind of a design is that?
There's also spring water. There's spring water in the mountains. I know, yeah. That's clean to drink.
Do you think everyone lives near spring water?
Of course not. No, but
Okay, so if you want human beings to be in an environment that's finely tuned, it seems like you would create the environment so that it wasn't 97% poisonous in the most necessary thing that is, which is water. And why in the world would you design it so that the sun would give you cancer?
But Justin, so is space. Space is basically 100% lethal to humans.
That's another problem. So, yeah, literally, if you just go high enough in the atmosphere, you'll stop breathing. Horrible design.
This is one of the signs that I truly believe is evidence for a creator
it's not.
The whole Earth is toxic and we're here on Earth.
It literally contradicts fine-tuning. I don't know if you're even paying attention.
Well, how does it contradict fine-tuning? Because other planets in our solar system, we couldn't live on them.
You don't know that. We'll try this again. You said in our solar system, the universe is fucking immense. You have no idea whether or not there is life elsewhere, and we already covered that. We already find the building blocks of life out in outer space. We literally just started looking for them. To make the claim that somehow we're special, we're unique, there's no life anywhere else, is stupid.
Right, but from our perspective, doesn't it seem interesting, at least, that the water is poisonous, but then there's still a lot of fruit trees, for example. Can have blueberries. You can go get food
The same person who designed fucking blueberries designed it so that 3 million children a year would die of starvation.
This is a horrible talking point.
Why in the world would a god create the world so that 3 million people a year would die of starvation? Babies, by the way. Children.
Because they go to heaven. Because they go to heaven, which is eternal.
Then why have them be born?
To see who deserves to go to heaven or hell.
They're fucking babies. They didn't do anything.
Well, it's different.
Babies,
it's different. Babies go straight to heaven.
Do you think babies sin?
No, I don't.
Then why have them born? If they're not being punished for anything, they're not proving anything, why have them be born just to come here, suffer and starve and go?
They go to heaven directly.
I don't care if they go to heaven. I'm talking about the suffering. If they don't get to live and enjoy or do anything in this life, they're just born to die, then what's the point?
Because their families exist too, right? Their families exist too.
I know, and they're fucking wrecked. If my child died of starvation, I'd be an absolute fucking train wreck. So why would God fine-tune the Earth so that 3 million children, babies, die every year?
Right, so their family, to see how their family reacts.
That's fucking crazy. Murder all the babies just to see how their family reacts. That's crazy. You can't believe that, Jack. That's hideous.
The thing is.
That's wild. Okay, I gotta write them down on my two clip list. Holy shit.
God knows stuff that we don't. Those babies go straight to heaven, according to
the
Abrahamic faith.
Is going to be Muslim. Let's see. What do I write in the note here? Muslim thinks killing babies is okay. just
Did I say that? Did I say that?
see
Did I say that?
the
Did I say that?
parents'
Did I say it's okay?
reaction.
Did I
Yeah.
say it's okay? I never
Oh,
said it's okay, Justin. You can
so
rewind it.
does God
You
do
can
things that
rewind
are
it.
not okay?
The thing is, God knows
Does
what we
God
don't
do
know.
things that are not okay, Jack?
We don't know. God
Does
is
God
above.
do
We don't
things?
know.
The answer
How
is
would we
no.
know?
God doesn't do things that are not okay, or else God wouldn't be doing them. Do you
How would
believe
we know?
that? Do you think that God can sin against himself?
How would we know?
Do you
God
think that
knows
God can
stuff
sin
that we
against
don't know.
himself?
I
It
don't
sounds
know.
like
I'm being
you don't
honest.
know anything.
Well, when it comes to God, that's of course I don't. I'm not God. That's the
Okay,
point.
so how do
God
you
is
know God
above
is
us.
good then?
Well, according to the Abrahamic faiths,
I didn't ask
there's
you according to
heaven
Abrahamic
and
faith.
hell.
I asked you, how do you know that God is good?
I'm telling you, that's how I know.
I
According
don't
to the
care about the
Abraham.
Abrahamic faith. I'm asking you, how did you as a human being determine that God is good?
Because of heaven and hell.
So the fact that heaven and hell exist and tells that God is good, why? How? In fact, if God
Okay.
was good, there wouldn't be any hell. Why does God need to torture anybody with fire? By the way, I'm reading your book. I'm only on chapter three, and I've already got like 45 fucking references to hell. This
Can I explain
prophet,
why? Can I explain why?
is obsessed with the idea that God is going to torture non-believers in fire. Why does
Can I
not
explain?
believing in this North Korean dictator in the clouds require you to be burned in fire for eternity?
Do murderers deserve to go to hell?
I didn't ask you about murderers. I said non-believers. Why is it that not believing in your sky dictator requires you to be burned forever in hellfire?
Because according to God, if you don't believe in him, God does what he wants. He can put
I
you in
didn't
hell for
ask
not
you what you
believing.
believed. I
Okay.
asked you why. Why is it good? Why is somebody who doesn't believe something requiring torture?
Again, if you don't believe in the in your who created you, then it makes sense, doesn't it?
No, it doesn't make sense. Nope, not at all. Because even if my child grew up and said, I don't want anything to do with you, Dad, I would never want my child to be tortured. I'd never light him on fire for the rest of eternity. So again, I'll ask, what does me not
It's
believing in your sky dictator have to do with me being lit on fire for eternity?
well, the thing is, God can do what he wants, Justin.
I didn't ask you if he could do
If
what he
he
wants. I
says,
asked, why does me not believing in him require me to be lit on fire?
that's again, that God knows what we don't. If God says
So
that,
you
for
don't
example,
know. Say, I don't know, Jack. Let the words leave your mouth. I don't know.
okay, I don't know. I don't
Fair
know,
enough.
but
Okay, so you don't
can I
know
give you
why.
what
So
I
there's no
think,
good
what I
answer.
my
Nobody
thoughts?
should be lit on fire for eternity because they don't believe a thing.
But what about murderers, though? What do you think about
I didn't
that? Can
ask
you
you
at
about
least
murderers. I
agree?
asked you about believing things.
No, I know, but this is a question to you.
I
Do you
don't
at
think
least
murderers should
agree?
be lit on
Do
fire for eternity either. No. I don't think we should
why?
be killing people.
Why shouldn't murderers, rapists, people who do bad things be punished
Because
eternally? Why?
then Muhammad would be punished because he raped a little girl named Aisha.
Okay, do you have evidence for this?
He married her when she was six,
The
according to her own hadith. She married her when she was six and consummated marriage at age nine. Do you think that 6-year-olds can consent?
Well, for example, it's no, I don't. But for example,
Okay, do you think
it's the age
9-year-olds
of.
can consent?
No, I don't. It's the thing is, it's not
Gotcha.
an
So
age.
that. So then that means Aisha couldn't consent.
Well, that can I get to that, please? Can
Can
I
you answer
give
the
you my exp.
question? Could Aisha consent?
Yes, but can I explain why?
Okay, but she was nine.
Well, the thing is, Justin, the
Here comes
criteria
the
is
apologetic. What's her
puberty.
criteria?
The
Oh,
criteria
so.
is puberty.
Okay, so as long as a girl hits puberty, you're allowed to go into her?
And she consents, and she consents, and
She.
she consents,
What do you think
and she
consent is?
consents.
Because I don't think you know what consent means.
And she wants to,
What's
and
the
she wants to get
definition of
married.
consent?
For example, did you know in the
What's
US
the definition
the
of
legal
consent,
age,
Jack? I don't care about the US. What's the definition of consent?
it's accepting or yes, like saying yes to something that someone's asking you.
And do you think 9-year-olds can consent?
Today, no. Current day, no.
Why
Current day,
not?
no.
Why not?
Because most are not haven't hit puberty at that age, and most are not
I didn't
mature
ask you
enough.
about puberty. I asked about consent. Okay, so consent requires a knowledge of what you're doing and understanding of the ramifications
Yes.
of what you're doing.
Yes,
Do
yes.
you think 9-year-olds have that?
No, I personally I don't. I don't.
Okay, then why would we believe that Aisha had that?
Well, because Did you know before Muhammad she was engaged already? Did you know that?
I didn't know that, nor do I care. That makes it even worse. So that means prior to the age of six, she was already engaged to be married, which means she. You think 5-year-olds can give consent to marriage?
No. But you have to understand that the families decide this. The families decide this.
Do you think Aisha made an informed decision at age 5?
No. But listen, gotcha. Justin, okay. Justin, listen.
Was she the only woman alive that ever gave informed consent at age 6?
Justin.
Jack, you're going to answer my fucking question, or I'm going to.
No, I don't think so. That's my answer. No. So, but can you?
So there are other women on the planet that gave informed consent at age 6.
I don't know. I wasn't there, but can I explain, please?
No, I don't want an explanation. I want a fucking answer. In Iraq, they lowered the age of marriage to 9. Do you agree with that?
Did you know in the U.S. it was 7?
I didn't care.
Years ago?
I don't care about what happened.
Did you know in the U.S. it was 7 years ago?
I don't fucking care about your whatabouts. And we're talking about 2025. In 2025, there are Muslim countries that are okay with marrying off 9-year-olds. Do you agree with it?
I don't know.
Okay.
So
what grounds do you disagree with it?
Essentially, by marriage doesn't necessarily mean they're having sex, Justin.
On what
it means
grounds,
the families decide that when they get older, they will get married.
I didn't ask you about that. I said, on what grounds do you disagree with it?
I disagree that you should be past, the woman should be past puberty and she should want to do it.
Why?
Because past puberty, they're aware they can give consent.
No. In the Quran, you don't have to be past puberty to be married. In fact, you can divorce a woman who hasn't even reached puberty.
And you have to...
I love how he doesn't address what I just said. Jack, in the Quran, you can divorce a woman who hasn't reached puberty yet. You know this, right?
I haven't read the whole thing. How would I know? How would I know?
Why are you in this religion if you haven't read the book?
Can you bring me a verse?
Why are you in this religion? I will. But you're going to answer my fucking question first.
Yeah,
are you in a religion that you haven't read the book of?
I don't know, but... It's a good question, but as I said, I'm a theist.
I don't care if you're a theist. I'm talking about a specific religion.
Why are you in the Abrahamic faith?
You believe in Allah. Stop lying to me.
Yes, I do. Yes.
You're going to look foolish every time you get on my live stream in front of almost 3,000 people and you lie. It makes you look foolish, not me.
By the way, Allah just means God in Arabic. Did you know that? Did you know Allah means God in Arabic?
Fucking everyone learns that at like age 12, Jack. This is childish. We knew that before you were even born. Okay.
Okay.
So it says in the Quran, we're going to go to the passage right now. As for your women past the age of menstruation, in case you do not know, their waiting period is 3. Talk about divorce. Their waiting period is 3 months. And those who have not menstruated as well. As for those who are pregnant, their waiting period ends with delivery. And whoever is mindful of Allah will make their matters easy for them. So the waiting period to divorce a woman, even if she hasn't reached puberty, is still 3 months just in case. Now, let me ask you a question. Why did they have a waiting period for divorce?
I don't know. Can we pull up a context on this verse?
I can tell you, in case they were pregnant, that way they knew who the child was, correct?
Okay, can we get context on the verse, please?
What context do you want?
Is there something we can see context?
I'm asking you, what context do you need?
There's usually sections on these types of websites that will explain what the verse
means. I've got
it
open right now. O Prophet, instruct the believers, when you intend to divorce women, then divorce them with concern for their waiting period.
Right.
And count it accurately and fear Allah your Lord. Do not force them out of their homes, nor should they leave unless they commit a blatant misconduct. These are the limits set by Allah, and whoever transgresses Allah's limits has truly wronged his own soul. You never know, perhaps Allah will bring about the change of heart later. So this is about the waiting period, in fact, for divorce. And the problem you have is if you just divorce a woman, bada bing, bada boom, and she turns up pregnant a couple months later, it's possible that the woman is pregnant with the first guy's wife. This is supposed to prevent that. This is supposed to be the prevention so that you knew whose baby this belongs to.
What's your issue with this?
My issue is that it says you can divorce a woman who's not yet reached puberty or menstruation.
Okay, but You wouldn't so let me you, explain that. There's so two you, families sometimes.
So do you
that
believe
they will?
Do you believe that you should be able to marry a girl who hasn't reached menstruation?
No, I don't. No, I don't. But can I explain to you
okay,
the different
the Quran
types of marriage?
Says, though,
okay,
I,
but
we know,
you're taking
we know
out
about
of context.
Jack, I'm not. We know about betrothal. We know that betrothals
where,
happen. We know that a betrothal. We know when, that a betrothal happens, and you're not having sex yet during the betrothal period. This is not talking about a betrothal
the
because there's a waiting period. You wouldn't have a waiting period if they weren't having sex.
And Justin, the parents, also the parents, there's two families, right? And they're family friends.
Jack, I don't know
kids,
why you don't listen to a word that comes out of my mouth. We'll try this again. There's a waiting period because they're having sex. You need the waiting period to determine if the baby is yours, which means it doesn't matter. This girl is getting fucked.
But, okay, but the waiting period was, is it for the divorce or for the baby?
It's for the because divorce so that we know if she's pregnant, who the baby belongs to. Because
that's not in the verse. That's not in the verse, Justin. That's not in the verse, dude.
Oh, okay. Oh, so what's the waiting period for then? Tell me.
In case they want to stay together. In case they want to stay together.
That's not even remotely the case.
Have you been in a divorce? Have you been in a divorce?
In fact, I have, and there's no 3 months waiting, and there's no 3 months waiting, and there's no 3 months waiting period. There's some states that have separation laws, but almost no states have them anymore.
Forget about laws for a second. Did you guys separate at
first? And we could just read you the rest of the passage since you actually haven't read it. It's okay. We're used to people not reading their holy books. It says, when they have almost reached the end of their waiting period, either retain them honorably or separate from them honorably. And call two of your reliable men to witness either way, and let the witnesses bear true testimony for the sake of Allah. This is enjoined on whoever has faith in Allah from the last day, and whoever is mindful of Allah, he will make a way out for them and provide for them sources as they could never imagine. Whoever put their strip, blah, 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 we don't care about the petty stuff. As for your women past the age of menstruation, in case you do not know, their waiting period is 3 months. Okay, why is menstruation relevant here?
Because puberty is important to a woman has to be past puberty to be considered an adult.
No. This is past the age of menstruation.
Yeah. So past
okay.
menstruation.
So why are puberty. Women, why is their menstruation period relevant?
Because it doesn't allow marrying someone below puberty.
Well, try this again. It doesn't say that. As for your women, Jack, pay attention and learn something for once. As for your women past the age of menstruation, meaning people that are in menopause, they've no longer menstruated now. Past the age of menstruation means you're no longer menstruating.
Right, which means she's an adult, doesn't it?
We fucking agree. Pay attention. Women past the age of menstruation, if you do not know, their waiting period is 3 months. And those who have not menstruated as well, meaning whether you've menstruated or not, whether you've stopped menstruating or not, the waiting period is 3 months.
Okay, so how do you know it's not addressing before this revelation came down, how do you know the because the Arabs during
because
that time
says,
were doing horrible things. The Arabs
because,
were doing horrible things.
Because
so
as
how do you
for
know
those, because as for those who are pregnant, their waiting period ends with delivery. It's about pregnancy. You could have just read the whole passage. The waiting period is for the pregnant. As for those who are pregnant, their waiting period ends with delivery. Meaning, if you're already fucking pregnant, you don't get divorced after 3 months. You get divorced after you deliver. This is about divorcing a woman, making sure you know whose child it belongs to. And it's crazy right now that you're willing to get on a live stream and lie about what you think this could possibly be about rather than just fucking opening your book and reading it.
I'm not lying. I'm reading the verse with you.
You lied. You were saying that this wasn't about pregnancy. All you had to do is read the whole verse. You weren't even patient enough to figure out what it was about. Making up stuff about what you think it was about.
It's right in front of us. It says, as for those who are pregnant, right? Their waiting period ends with delivery.
Why? Why does it say that?
Because that's just what it says, but that doesn't,
can't
say that means that
try again. Their waiting month ends with delivery because we know that they're already pregnant now and their waiting month has to actually complete, like their pregnancy have to actually complete before they can marry another. You're not supposed to marry someone while you're pregnant with somebody else's child. So again, this passage, and stop lying, Jack, because we're all smart enough to know when you're lying, is about the waiting period for women in the event that they could become pregnant or are already pregnant. If you're already pregnant, the waiting period is your delivery day. If we don't know if you're pregnant or you're not pregnant, the waiting period is 3 months to determine if you are in fact pregnant. That's what this is about. And if you bother to read the Tafsir, it's going to say the same thing. Do you want me to read the Tafsir to you?
Sure, but can you think of this with me? Sure. This is in the context of divorce, Justin.
We covered that. We know about divorce.
It's not saying marrying someone under puberty is allowed. It's saying if you are already, which the Arabs were doing bad things at the time before this revelation
came down. We don't care about the other Arabs. We're talking about your Arabs.
This revelation came to the Arabs. What are you talking about? This
I know. We're talking about your specific Arabs. So pay attention. I don't care what the other Arabs were doing. I'm talking about your Arabs.
I'm saying if an Arab married someone underage at that time, then the Quran came down and talked about this context is in divorce. It's not about saying you can marry someone. Bring me one verse that says you can marry someone under puberty.
If you're divorcing a woman who's under puberty, that means you married her. Pay attention.
Right, but not according to the Quran. They married her before the Quran came.
Yeah, according to the Quran.
Bring me one verse that says you can marry.
We just read it, you liar.
This is in the context of divorce, though. Do you not understand someone could have married a young girl before reading?
Do you understand that you can't get divorced prior to the marriage?
I'm saying people could have gotten married before this Quran reached them. That's the point I'm trying to make.
That's crazy. This is a rule for the people to live by.
Yes, so that's what I'm saying.
It's a rule for people to live by. So 100 years from now, this rule holds true.
Can I explain?
If it was talking about people who got married prior to the creation of the Quran, it would just say so. Those of you who were already married prior to this revelation, here's what you do. It doesn't say that. You're making that up, Jack, because you're a fucking liar.
Dude, I'm not lying. Can you read?
You are a liar.
Then pull up the Tafsir. Pull up the Tafsir then.
I'll show you the Tafsir.
Please.
A guy that hasn't even read his own book lying on it.
Dude, I'm not lying. It's in the context of divorce. You're lying.
We're all watching you lie in real...
You can literally ask AI, dude.
We're all watching you lie in real time. And this is the more obvious meaning. Supporting this view, what is reported from Ubay bin Khab, that he said, O Allah's messenger, some women were not mentioned in the Quran, the young, the old, and the pregnant. So this is about people that are pregnant. If you have doubt, 3 months. And for those who have no courses, and for those who are pregnant, their iddah is until they lay down their burden or give delivery. There are still some women whose iddah has not been mentioned in the Quran. There are the young, the old, those who menstruate has discontinued, and the pregnant. This is talking about the waiting period for those who have menstruated, haven't menstruated, and are pregnant. Exactly what I just said.
Right. But does it say you can marry someone before puberty? That's what we're arguing about.
Yes, because you can't divorce somebody below the age of before puberty if you haven't married her yet. That's obvious, Jack.
What if the Quran comes and someone is already married to someone? Why does that scenario not exist in your head?
Because this isn't referring to that. This is a law for the future.
Okay.
This law applies at all time periods. This is part of your law in your religion. This law still applies.
Do you know what the Arabs were doing at the time before the Quran came?
No, neither do you. You're lying.
They were burying and killing babies.
Prove it.
They were killing babies.
Prove it, Jack. Prove it.
Prove it, Jack.
Stop lying to my face and prove it.
Dude, can you Google right in front of me? Can you Google right in front of me?
You Google it. That's your argument.
I can Google it. I can.
Give me the evidence. Give me the source.
It won't show on the screen.
Go find the source and I'll put it on the screen. Go find it.
Okay, I'll tell you my exact Google query. What were the Arabs doing?
No, I don't want your query. Go get the source and I'll put it on the screen. Stop fucking lying to my face.
Okay, I will. Before the Quran came down. One sec, I'm typing. Sorry. Okay, they were a polytheist. This is from AI, Google AI overview.
Google AI is not a source. Try again.
Okay. Wikipedia.
Wikipedia is better. Go to Wikipedia.
Okay, pre-Islamic Arabia. Okay. Do you want to just Google on your end? It's easier. It's on Wikipedia.
Read it.
Just
Read it to me. Okay. Give me the part where it says that they were marrying girls and Muhammad stopped it. Marrying prepubescent girls. By the way, the hadith says that she was married prepubescent, just so we're clear on this.
Okay, but the hadith I don't read the hadith.
It's the one narrated by her.
The Bible and the Quran. That's all I read.
You don't read any of them.
I only read the Bible, the Torah.
If you read
and the
any
Quran.
Of them, you would know that according to the Quran, you can divorce a woman who hasn't reached puberty yet.
Okay, I'm trying to find it on Wikipedia, but this is a known fact, Justin, that
it's not
horrible,
a known fact.
They were doing horrible things.
No,
it is
it's
known.
Not. Nope. They were, no, it's not.
They were.
Stop lying,
they were,
Jack. Stop lying,
dude. It's not a lie,
Jack. Every time you lie to me, I'm going to call you a liar. Stop lying.
You won't even Google it, dude.
I'm not doing your homework for me.
It's literally, it's right
so,
here.
So they again, were... you haven't given me the, read me the part where it says that Muhammad stopped them from marrying prepubescent girls.
Okay, I'm trying to find it. It's a bit hard to pull it up on the spot.
Well,
man.
Find it. You're the one that says it exists, not me. Every source, every claim I ever make on this live stream, I know where the source is and I'll show it to you.
Okay. Let me see if I can find it. Okay, because I use AI a lot, so that's why it's
well,
just
you
easy.
You don't. AI it's is not easy. A source. It's lazy.
But it pulls from data.
No, it doesn't. Everywhere. It pulls from fucking Reddit and chat forums. It's not a source.
All right. Okay.
Sure. I speak Arabic, and it's crystal clear saying that it's 3 months for whom got menopause doesn't have periods, and whom doesn't get the period yet. And the Prophet himself got married to Aisha when she was 6, and he had an intercourse with her when she was 9. So he did it himself. What are you talking about? Do you speak Arabic, Jack?
No.
No, I don't.
No, he's whiter than me, Arabic. I can tell.
I can't read it. I can't read it to you right now, if you're going to understand it. It's crystal clear, brother. They can marry kids. And
okay,
they do.
I can't find a freaking source right now. Okay?
Yeah, I know, because there's not one. You're making it up, Jack.
No, Justin, I use AI, dude, and this is what AI was telling me, dude.
But AI is not a source. I don't care what AI says.
I didn't make this up, Justin, okay?
You are.
AI was telling me. Okay.
Jack, your book says that you can divorce prepubescent girls and that they have a waiting period in case they're pregnant. That means they're fucking little girls, Jack. How about you be honest for 5 seconds?
Okay. Justin, I will agree that the Arabs before the Quran came.
I didn't ask you about
that.
The Arabs before the Quran. This
the Quran
the,
then
are the
came.
Commands are the commands in the Quran eternal or not?
The
are the commands in the
I don't know.
You
don't know
if the commands in the Quran should be followed forever?
Well, for yes, till the end of
that means
end of,
That means this command is good until the end of time. There's a waiting period to divorce a woman who's prepubescent.
Right,
if he was only referring to a specific case about girls that were married before the giving of the Quran, which he's not, he would have just said it. He didn't say it. This is a horrible lie, Jack. I've heard a lot of like Muslim apologists try to square up this passage. You're the first one I've heard that is literally lying to my face about it.
Dude, it's not a lie, dude. I'm trying to find a source. It's because because God was angry with what the Arabs were doing. He saw a lot of them were marrying young girls. So he came down and brought that.
So
you
he
must,
came and
you,
fucked
you
his own
divorce.
Young girl. The prophet said, yeah, I'm going to go fuck a 9-year-old. That's what happened.
And also, by the way, scholars say she was
so
19,
God,
by
God
the way.
God was so
was
mad. No, they don't. So scholars were so mad. No, they don't. Scholars were. God was so mad that they were boning little girls that he gave Aisha at 6 so that he can bone her when she turned 9.
No, dude, you're taking it. No, dude.
Jack, don't lie to me.
Jack,
I do this every day. I've heard all of these bad arguments except for this new lie that you've made up. These are not true things. I don't know who told you this. I don't know which imam gave you these lies to repeat, but they're lying to you. Jack, you sound like a white guy from the Midwest. How did you fall into this toxic religion?
Dude, I'm in Texas, dude, all right?
Yeah, you're fucking okay, in Texas. How did you fall into this perverted religion?
I told you the Abrahamic faith appealed to me. I told you that.
I don't care if they appeal to you. I'm asking you, how did this specific religion fall into your purview and you think it's true?
Because it's part of the Abrahamic religions.
I don't give a fuck if it's part of. I ask you why you think it's true.
That's why I think it's true.
Do you think that Muhammad split the moon in two, Jack?
Well, like Jesus turned water to wine, yes.
I didn't ask you about that. I asked you, do you believe that Muhammad did.
I believe it was a miracle.
And why
like
would
Jesus.
You believe? Why would like, you believe that a guy split the moon in two? That's asinine.
Because I also believe Moses split the sea. I also believe Moses.
I didn't
split
ask
the
you
sea.
About Moses.
I'm saying just like these prophets did miracles to prove to people that they were prophets. That's why God gave them superpowers so that people would actually believe them.
Yeah, Muhammad had superpowers, I'm sure.
So did Jesus and Moses. Dude.
How come Muhammad didn't have the superpower of foresight when he said that the end of the world was near?
Where can I get a verse of that?
Yeah, it's in chapter 21. In fact, we'll pull it up right here.
Is that in the Quran? 37 through 40.
Yeah, everything I tell you is in the Quran. I already know that you don't believe the Hadith because you're a heretic, and that's fine. But I'll show you in the Quran. It says, the time of the people's judgment has drawn near, yet they are heedlessly turned away.
Yeah, okay, near is relative. How do we know? Okay,
Is near 2,000 years almost? 1,500 years?
Well,
what is near? What meaning does the word near have in
compare
the context
that to eternity,
of,
Justin?
He didn't
compare
say
that
it,
to
he
eternity.
Didn't, he didn't say compared to eternity. He said near.
Because after judgment day is eternity.
So near is basically one third of all human existence. What use does the word near have anymore? If near can mean one third of all human existence, according to the Quran, it loses all meaning.
Can we read the context, please?
Jack, what do you think his hearers thought that this meant?
Can we please read the context, Justin?
Not until you answer my question. What do you think his audience thought this meant?
That the day of judgment where people are judged for what they've done is near.
What do you mean by near? How near?
Does it say? No, it doesn't. So I don't know.
I know you don't know because you're up here lying to me, Jack. His audience would have thought that it was near, at the precipice, about to come anytime, maybe in a couple of generations. They wouldn't have thought fucking 1,500 years later. That's crazy.
But can we compare mathematically 2,000 years to eternity is like a blink of an eye?
No, we can't, because human beings only existed for 6,000 years in your worldview, which means near is now almost one third of human history. That's asinine.
Can we read the Tasfir?
Sure, you think it's going to help you?
I'm curious. I haven't.
Do you think it's going to tell you that near means something other than near?
I feel like near here can be debated. I feel like near here could be debated.
Oh yeah, why?
Because of my argument of eternity compared to.
The hour has drawn near and the moon has been cleft asunder, and if they see a sign, they turn away. None of the tafsir actually address the interpretation of the word near. It's almost like the word near should just mean in a short period of time. Weird how that works.
Let me ask you this. What if he was talking to a group that was going to, for example, pass away soon? Wouldn't that make sense?
No, because he's not.
Okay, but can we just read the verse before and after?
Let me just invent a fictitious narrative to make near not mean near. He says the people's judgment has drawn near, and whether you die or not, your judgment isn't as soon as you die. Your judgment is a set point. People who are dead right now haven't been judged yet. You know what the judgment is. There's only one judgment in the Quran.
Can we please read the verse before and after?
Do you know that there's only one judgment in the Quran?
Yes, judgment.
Okay,
yes.
And has the judgment happened?
No.
Okay, that means it's not about people that are about to die, is it?
No, you're right. You're right.
There Good we point. Go. Finally you're got right an admission. That. Okay,
but
so
can we read the verse before and after, please?
There is no verse before. That's the beginning of the chapter.
In the second verse, I'm just curious.
It says, whatever new reminder comes to them from their Lord, they only listen to it jokingly.
Okay.
Jack, we've talked before, haven't we?
No, we haven't.
Okay. I talked to an American Muslim literally just a couple of days ago from Texas, I believe. It's crazy. Okay. So the Quran just says stuff that like just blatantly not true, which is another problem. And it contradicts itself. So, for example, in Quran 51:49, God says, we created pairs of all things, referring to like animal kind. So perhaps you would be mindful. That's not true. There's a bunch of animals that replicate asexually.
Okay. Tasfir, please. Tasfir.
I don't know why the tafsir is going to save you. We'll try this again. Before you run off to a tafsir, can you address the actual passage?
Yes, pairs means male and female. Is there any animal you know that doesn't have?
Yeah, there's a lot of animals that reproduce asexually. Yep.
But no, I'm saying, do you believe there's any animals that don't have two genders?
Yeah, a bunch.
Okay, can you? May I have an example, please?
Yeah. So, for example, there's a lot of all-female species. Let me grab the New Mexico whiptail lizard. This species consists entirely of females that reproduce through parthenogenesis. In fact, I've got a friend who's got fish that only reproduce through parthenogenesis, not a male in the bunch. Says, and there's a Britannica source on it. It's called Unisexuality.
Okay, I don't believe in this alphabet stuff, LGBTA, LGHTTV
stuff. I didn't ask about anything that's about asexual reproduction.
But, okay, but then tafsir, please. Can we just see the tafsir to make sure I'm correct? Because a lot of times
when
I read...
You're certainly not correct. You're not even remotely
correct. The Torah or the Bible or the Quran, I sometimes get proven wrong because of the context.
Yeah, we've demonstrated you haven't read the Quran. So... It says, we constructed the heaven, meaning we made it as a high roof protecting from falling, which is crazy, by the way. The Quran over and over again dictates that the heavens and the earth are flat. But which tafsir do you think is going to help you here?
Well, you wanted me to explain how we were created in pairs. And my answer was that there's male and female genders, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong about what that verse meant. That's all I'm saying.
There's lots of animals that don't have a pair.
Okay. We created pairs of all things, so perhaps you'd be mindful. So, okay.
And this is not the only verse that says it. You know, there's multiple verses that say the same thing. For example, male and female, sweet and bitter, day and night. There's not a pair of all animals.
Okay, but those were a good amount right there of pairs.
That's, it doesn't matter. So, he says pairs of all things.
Did it say male and female? Did it say male and female? That's all.
Yes,
I
it did.
Know.
Yeah, the footnote says, for example, male and female, bitter and sweet, so on and so forth, day and night. And it says this is the case for all things.
Okay. And I don't think this is an issue. I don't think this is an issue.
It is an issue because not all animals have two genders. There's quite a few animals that reproduce without any sex with an opposite gender.
Can you just give me a name of one? Sorry, the species name?
Yeah, New Mexico whiptail lizard.
Okay, I'm just Googling it real quick. Okay, New Mexico whiptail lizard gender. All female species with no males in the population. This is because they reproduce asexually through a process called parthenogenesis, where unfertilized eggs develop into clones of the mother.
There's a bunch of fish too. There's a whole laundry list of fish that do this. And like a lot of other, like smaller forms of life too. Aren't there some worms that reproduce asexually?
Okay, but wouldn't you agree that, okay, maybe not all things literally, but metaphorically, there is a lot of things that do have pairs. So it's kind of,
but
it's kind
it says
of hard.
All things.
Right, but is it metaphorically?
No, it says all things. Literally? Did Muhammad metaphorically split the moon, or did he literally split the moon?
I think literally it was like a miracle, like Jesus did and
why
Moses.
Why do you think it's literal rather than metaphor? If you think that verses can just randomly be a metaphor, what's your measuring stick for determining what's a metaphor?
This is where the tafsir might help, but
I didn't ask you about the tafsir. Yeah. I said, what's your measuring stick for determining what is a metaphor and what is not?
Yeah, it's a good question. Well, for example, like the Son of God is a common thing in the Abrahamic faith. Son of God.
I didn't care about an explanation about the Son of God. I said, how did you determine what is and isn't a metaphor?
Like if something literally happens, it's not a metaphor, like, or literally is described, it's not a metaphor.
How do you know if it's being literally described?
By comparing what I see in reality.
Right, exactly. So when the Quran says something that contradicts reality, you say, oh fuck, it must be a metaphor. Because your hermeneutic isn't the Quran says things that are sometimes wrong. Your hermeneutic is the Quran can never say anything wrong. So every time it says something I don't like, now it's a metaphor.
Right, but...
Yeah, that is right. I know. Thank you for being honest.
But you have to agree that that verse has truth in it too. That verse
no,
has
doesn't.
Truth in it too, Justin.
No, it doesn't.
Because it is right. There's male and female. There's bitter and
sweet. Not of all things.
Okay, most things. You can say most things.
Well,
right?
It should have said most things.
Maybe the Arabic version does.
Well, why would they translate it on Quran.com without that translation then? Do you think the translator of Quran.com just botched it?
I'm not sure, Justin.
That'd be a crazy thing to believe in. Now, also, about this nonsense with the mountains, why did the Quran say in at least two different places that the mountains were placed on the earth to be like heavy paperweights? It says that they were placed on the earth so that the earth wouldn't shake.
Because today or recently we've learned, so underground, under the mountain, you know how mountains are very tall, right? Most of them. Some are short, some are tall.
Yeah, I know. You're going to say something about roots. I'm not asking about the roots. I'm asking about the claim where it says that mountains are placed on the earth to prevent it from shaking.
Yeah. Okay, but you interrupted me. I was going to answer your question. That below the mountain, essentially there's another mountain that's basically as tall as it goes high, but it goes into the earth. And that's what stops the tectonic plates from violently shaking. The whole earth, if we didn't have mountains, the whole earth would be violently shaking.
That's entirely false.
No, it's not, Justin. It
agrees
with science.
That's entirely false.
It agrees with science, Justin.
No, it doesn't agree with science.
Yeah,
in fact, earthquakes are literally the thing forming mountains. Tectonic movement is the thing that forms mountains.
Okay,
that's,
but if
that's
mountains
like
didn't
geology
exist,
literally 101. Not a single mountain on this planet is preventing earthquakes.
Wrong, dude. Totally wrong, dude. Totally
no,
wrong,
it's 100% dude. Right. How do mountains form, Jack?
Okay, can you look up isostasy? Isostasy.
How do mountains form, Jack?
I don't know. That's part of the Earth's creation. They were created by God.
They certainly weren't created by God. In fact, I'm going to draw you a picture. It's not hard. We know how mountains form. I learned how mountains form in the fifth grade, Jack. In the fifth grade. That's when I learned about tectonic plates and mountains. It was a long time ago. I didn't need any special training to do it. And I know you're like itching to jump in, but you're just going to make yourself look silly if you do. So I'm going to put a board up. Here's the Earth's surface. It's green. Now, mountains form tonight when tectonic plates move towards each other. And sometimes they force the ground up. Sometimes it happens like this, where one goes up and one goes down.
I remember this from elementary.
Sometimes it does both. Sometimes tectonic plates move towards each other and you get a mountain like this and you get like a bulge down below. Because the tectonic plates don't always move. Sometimes this is called a slip. Sometimes they slip past each other. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they peak. And sometimes they peak and they bulge. This bulge is typically what people want to refer to as the root. But this does not prevent those tectonic plates from moving anymore. Oh,
wrong.
Sorry, you can't see it on the screen. Let me move this down further.
I can see it.
No, you can't see it.
Can I please read evidence of the mountains as stabilizers claim in the Quran?
First of all, the crown is not evidence, but so the top picture, which was kind of cut off, shows it. Yes, is there a bulge below some of the mountains? For sure. Is that preventing tectonic plate movement? No.
Okay, can I read, please, Justin? Just a small, short passage.
Go for it. Is it in the crown?
This is on Google. Mm-hmm. It's called isostasy. Mountains have deep roots that extend below the Earth's surface, similar to how an iceberg has a large mass hidden underwater. This concept is part of isostasy, which explains how mountains help keep the crust stable by providing a deep anchor in the mantle. This is exactly what the Quran describes.
Keeping the crust stable has nothing to do with the prevention of earthquakes.
Dude, come on. You're being insincere now. You're being insincere. It does, dude. You're being insincere.
No, it does not.
Can you can look it up, isostasy, dude.
I did.
You're being insincere, dude.
No, I'm not being insincere.
How is
not a single mountain is preventing tectonic plate movement. Not a single one.
Okay, but it's stabilizing. That's different.
No, it's
than
not
fully preventing. It says right here, dude, on Google.
No,
it says right here.
It doesn't
on Google,
say that. Dude. That mountain formed using tectonic plate movement. Mountains. I don't know if you know this. Didn't always exist. That's why we have like seashells and shit on top of some of the mountains, because they were once flat and underneath water, and tectonic plate movement caused the mountain to exist. They
okay,
weren't
but
placed.
Dude, I feel like you're being insincere with the
stabilizing. No, I'm not. In fact, if you just go to the Wikipedia page, it says isostatic equilibrium is the state of gravitational equilibrium between the Earth's crust and the mantle, which that the crust floats. Do you know what it means to float?
Yes, of course.
Do floating objects move?
Yes.
Okay, and when floating objects move, we call them tectonic plates. What happens?
Earthquake.
Fan-fucking-tastic. We got there. Yep.
Okay, but I feel like you're being a bit insincere by saying that the mountains just don't do anything to help stabilize the Earth, because literally that's scientific
they
fact,
don't.
Dude.
No, it's not.
That's a scientific
fact. No, it is not.
You can ask Google, dude. You can ask Google, dude.
Again, Google is not a source.
For science, it's a great source for
no,
science.
No, it's not.
What do you mean? Where do you go for your science?
Google is not a source, and it will never be a source.
Okay, I have it on Wikipedia, too, if that helps.
Because in fact... If you bothered to read the entire wiki page on isostasy or whatever you call it, it literally contradicts you. In addition to the vertical movement of the land and sea, isostatic adjustment of the Earth also involves horizontal movements. It can cause changes in Earth's gravitational field, rotation rate, polar wander, and earthquakes. It literally states ver-fucking-batum that isostatic adjustments causes earthquakes. I don't know where are
you
getting these bad
bit?
Talking points, Jack, but this is fucking embarrassing.
Can you scroll up to where it says depth of compensation on that wiki page? I think I'm on the same page as you.
Did you hear the part that I just read to you where it says that it causes earthquakes?
Right, but look, there's a place in that state, it says instable regions, in the same wiki page, instable regions, it lies in the deep crust, but in active regions, it may lie below the base of the lithosphere.
Exactly, yeah, because mountain ranges are sometimes still active. They're still moving. The tectonic plates are still moving, Jack. That's what earthquakes are.
Right,
crust moves up, crust moves down. They're moving.
Right, but I feel like it's insincere to say that it's not stabilizing Earth at
it's
all.
It's not
the
stabilizing the Earth. It's not preventing earthquakes. It's actively causing it.
I don't think so,
it's
dude.
It's actively causing it. It says it verbatim on the actual wiki entry.
I don't know, man.
You do know. You're lying to me and you're lying to yourself. That's what you're doing. You can't accept the actual truth that this toxic, barbaric religion isn't real. It's not true. The Quran is full of lies. Mountains weren't placed on the earth to stabilize it. Mountains are some of the oldest remnants of actual fucking earthquakes.
Okay. I'm disagreeing, man. I'm disagreeing. But
well, you'd be wrong. Your own source disagrees with you.
I'm disagreeing, man. I'm disagreeing on this.
You're disagreeing with yourself.
Because I see also it's saying it stabilizes.
You don't. Also, what layer of the heavens are the stars in?
I don't understand the question. What do you mean?
You know, in the Quran, there's layers of heaven.
Yes, seven levels. Yep.
Yeah, and the lowest level is the one closest to the Earth, right?
Yes, which is outer space. Yeah.
No, that would be a higher level. The lowest level would be the part that is just above our face, where airplanes are.
Wrong, wrong, wrong.
No, you'd be wrong.
Wrong.
No, outer space is an indefinite area. There's no layers of outer space.
Right, but outer what's outside outer space? That's where
there's
the
nothing
are.
Outside outer space.
Above,
no.
Above space.
The Quran doesn't say that. The Quran says that the heavens are just above the earth, and it's laid flat like a bed. There's not a single passage in the Quran that says that the heavens are far away. Every time the heavens are mentioned, it's basically the draping over the earth every single time.
And do you know what the heavens mean in the Quranic interpretation?
I do. It's the same as the Bible. It's the sky above your face. That's why it says, indeed, they didn't have any idea that the earth was round. They had no idea that outer space even existed. It says, indeed, we adorned the lowest heaven with stars like lamps and made them as missiles for stoning eavesdropping devils, for whom we also prepared the torment of blaze. You think that heavens are full of stars that are crashing to the earth to kill off devils?
What verse is this? Can I get the number and chapter so I can read it?
Yeah. The context? Yeah, we're in chapter 67, verse 5.
Okay, this is, I'm not, again, I don't know, this seems metaphorical, but let me look.
Yeah, when you don't like what it says, it's a metaphor, I'm sure.
But did you know the heavens in the Quranic interpretation either means outer space or actual heaven?
Not
what? Actual heaven.
Wrong again.
How, okay, can you show me?
Yes, I can show you, because the heavens, it says, are just above the earth. In fact, they're touching the earth. Let me grab you some passages. We'll start in Quran 13:2. I will never understand why people who have never read this book believe in this nonsense. Okay. It is Allah who has raised the heavens without pillars, as you can see, then established himself on the throne. He has subjected the sun and the moon, each orbiting an appointed term. He conducts the whole affair. So the idea is that there's a flat earth, a flat heaven over top of it, and that the sun and the moon are orbiting the flat earth in heaven.
What verse, Justin? What verse? Sorry.
I'm in 13:2.
Okay, can you please read it?
It is Allah who has raised the heavens without pillars, as you can see, then established himself on the throne. He has subjected the sun and the moon, each orbiting for an appointed term. He conducts the whole affair. Do you think the sun and the moon orbit?
So we have, okay, let me think about this.
So we have
the moon orbits around the earth and the earth orbits around the sun.
The sun doesn't orbit.
Okay, that's, and then, okay, so if this, but think about this, put yourself 1,000 years ago when this came. On Earth, when you're looking at the sun, doesn't it look like it's orbiting around you?
Yeah, that's why it's wrong, because everybody in the ancient world believed, not everybody, the Greeks had it figured out, but in the ancient Near East, they believed that the Earth was a flat disk, and that the planetary bodies were all orbiting this flat disk with a dome over top of it, the firmament.
Okay, and is there a tafsir?
The tafsir has never helped you out once today. I don't know why you think it's going to now. Which one do you want to read? Pick one.
Just the one related to the verse we were. we were looking at.
This is even better. The first tafsir says, Allah mentions his perfect ability and infinite authority, since it is he who has raised the heavens without pillars by his permission and order. He, by his leave, order and power, has elevated the heavens high above the earth. So it's got a location relative to the earth, distant and far away from reach. The heaven nearest to the present world encompasses the earth from all directions. That's what I said. The heavens nearest to the earth encompasses the earth in all directions. And so also high above it from every direction. The distance between the first heaven and the earth is 500 years from every direction. And its thickness is also 500 years. So the lowest heaven would be in the first 500 years, meaning the stars, all of the stars are located in the lowest heavens closest to the earth. The second heaven surrounds the first heaven from every direction, encompassing everything that the latter carries, a thickness also of 500 years, so on and so forth. So he's talking about the various layers of heaven. So the lowest heaven is the one closest to the heavens. So when it says that the stars are in the lowest heaven and they're used as missiles against the devils, it's crazy.
Metaphorical.
It's
that has to be metaphorical.
That part's metaphorical. Yeah. Whatever lie you got to tell yourself. You can lie to yourself, but you can't lie to us. And it says the heaven is like a dome over the earth, meaning without pillars. Oh, it's almost like these people believed that there was a fucking dome over the earth that had the sky below it, and that it was a flat disc, just like the Hebrews, just like the Christians.
Dome is a circle, dude. That's the atmosphere.
I agree. Yeah, the dome is a circle. You got it.
Which it says.
I said that. Yeah, it's over top of a flat disc earth.
Where does it say flat disc? Where?
Because the earth is laid out. It says it's made even.
That doesn't mean the whole earth is flat, does it?
It says it's level. It says the earth was spread out level. There's so much flat earth imagery in here. It's unbelievable. It says, as for the earth, we spread it out. How superbly we did smooth it out. Quran 51:48. Quran 88:20. And the earth. How it was leveled out. Quran 76:67.
And how do you
have
know
we not smoothed out the earth like a bed? Crazy. Yeah. Quran 76. In fact, you're being so needlessly obtuse with these passages. I'm starting to think that you're a troll. Quran literally says, "Have we not smoothed out the earth like a bed?" I'm sorry. Is a bed a sphere or is it flat?
From your perspective, is the earth
I didn't ask from my perspective. I said, is a bed smooth or flat?
Flat.
Fantastic. So when it says that we have smoothed out the earth like a bed, is that flat earth imagery or sphere imagery?
Flat, but it's not referring to the whole earth.
It is flat. Yeah, it is.
It's referring to from a human perspective.
It doesn't say human perspective.
But
all right, all right, listen, Jack, you lying liar. I think we're done with listening to your lies. We're going to move on to the next guest. You have a toxic, perverted religion, and we hope you learn better, okay?
May I ask?
Nah.